As Brother Bill said, I'm Marty, for those that don't know me. Been coming here since the 1990. I'd like to go over the reading that we did earlier. The name of my, what I'm going to speak about is the second. In Matthew 22, if we break the chapter down so we don't take the text out of the context, Jesus spoke in parables in the kingdom of heaven, explaining it as a certain king who had a marriage for his son. And in that parable, no one came. So he sent his servants out to the highways and byways to bring the folks in. After he spoke that parable, the Pharisees took counsel how they could entangle him in his speech and asked him the question, is it lawful to pay tribute unto Caesar? And Jesus took the coin, looked at it, said, whose image and superscription is this? They said, Caesar. And Jesus' response was, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's and unto God that which is God's. And then the Sadducees tried to trip the Lord up. And they asked about the woman that was married and her husband died. And so, according to the law, the dead husband's brother married the widow. And then he died. And so forth, up to the seventh. And they asked Jesus, okay, in the resurrection, whose wife is she? And Jesus explained that you don't understand because in the resurrection there is no marriage. And then that's where our reading picked up. And the main verse that I'd like to talk about is when the lawyer had asked, Master, which is the great commandment of the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love thy Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, and all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. And that's what I'd like to speak about tonight. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the laws and the prophet. I'd like to go through that right now. I've always been told that if something is mentioned in the Bible, it's important. If it's mentioned twice, it's extremely important. If it's three times, it's uttermost important. But did you know that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself is mentioned six times? Six times in the New Testament. In Matthew, it's mentioned twice. In Mark chapter 12, Romans 13, Galatians, and James. So I tried to break this down, and the two main words is love and neighbor. Let me try to explain this a little. In Kings, 1 Kings, if you want to turn there, chapter 3, verses 16 through 28. This is the story where the two women that were harlots came unto King Solomon and stood before him. And one woman said, O my Lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass on the third day after I was delivered that this woman was delivered also. So 3 days had passed between the births of the two children. And we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. And the woman's child died in the night because she overlaid it. She rolled over on the child and suffocated it. And she arose at midnight and took my son beside him. And while thou handmaid slept and laid in her bosom, and laid her dead child on my bosom. So she changed the two children. When I arose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son which I did bear. And the other woman said, Nay, but this living is my son, and the dead is thy son. And this said, No, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. Thus they spoke before the king. Then said the king, The one that saith, This is my son that liveth, and thy son is dead. And the other saith, Nay, but thy son is dead, and my son is living. And the king said, Bring me a sword. And they brought the sword before the king. And the king said, Divide the living child into two, and give half to one and half to the other. Then spoke the woman whose living child was unto the king, for her bowels earned upon her son. And she said, O my Lord, give her the living child, and in no way slay it. That's love. That's a mother's love for the child. Another one demonstration of love is mentioned in Luke 15. Chapter 15, verse 11. And that's the story of the prodigal son. And how the father's heart was broken when the younger son left with his part of his inheritance. And he spent it all, and he wound up broke working with the pigs in the foreign land, in the strange land. Now, if you know about Jewish tradition, that's beyond low, working with the pigs. And the son looked up and he said, The least of my father's slaves, servants, well, they eat better than I do. They live better than I do. I'll go back and I'll confess to my father that I have sinned against him. And when he went back, his father saw him afar off. And if you read, you can see the father's heart broke, yet jumped with joy for the love of his youngest son that was lost, and now he's come back. In John chapter 15, verses 12 and 13, the Lord said, This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And in verse 13, Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. I sit here, I come out here, or you go to Walmart, you go downtown to the park, and you see the parents with their children. And you see the joy in the faces. I see Jimmy and Brittany with Joey and Jimmy when they do something, and the pride. You can see it in their faces and the love that they have for their children. And that's the right thing. But the greatest love that I could find in the scriptures was John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So as I explained about a parent's love, about the mother's love, about a friend's love, laying down his life for his friend. But the greatest love was when Jesus gave his only begotten son for us. I'd like to talk about neighbor. Now, a lot of you have heard Mark Pelletier and myself call each other neighbor, but that's not the neighbor I'm talking about. That's just because he lives down the street from me. Okay, in Luke 10 and verse 25 through 37, this is a little lengthy. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answered, said, Thou shalt love thy Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, Who is this? Who is my neighbor? And Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down to from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came a certain priest by that way, and he saw him, and he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was in that place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and he went in to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to the inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow he departed, and he took 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto them, take care of him, whatsoever thou spendest more. When I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was his neighbor, was a neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do likewise. Now, the Samaritans were looked down upon because the Samaritans were descendants of the Israelites who intermarried with foreigners in the old northern kingdom and became hostile to the Judeans because the people in Judea were the true Jews, the pure blood Jews. And this you can find in the time of Ezra and Nehemiah. So when the Samaritans stopped, the priest didn't stop. The Levite didn't stop. So the Lord explained that the one that showed mercy, that was the neighbor. So how ought we to love our neighbor? And in Luke 6, Jesus said, but I say unto you which hear, you love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, pray for them that despitefully use you, and unto him that smiteth thee on one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asks it of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye likewise also to them. Isn't that the golden rule? Do unto others. And he went on and explained, he says, now referencing verse 27, but I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you. And he explained that. He says, for if you love them which love you, what thank have you? For sinners also love them that love, also love those that love them. He also referenced 28, bless them that curse you, pray for them that despitefully use you. And he did that in verse 33, And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have you? For sinners also do even the same. And again, he's referencing verse 30, give to every man that asketh. He says, if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. And then he went on, the Lord went on, and he says, but love your enemies, do good, lend, hoping for nothing again, your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father is also merciful. Now, I was thinking about this, and I was contemplating, what are the biggest obstacles to preventing us from loving our neighbors? And I came up with two things, pride and remembrance. Now, pride, as we know in the scriptures, is a sin. In Luke 10:29, when the young man went up to Jesus and asked him what the great commandment was, he tried to justify himself. And I understood that it's being prideful. But it says, but he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, who is my neighbor? This Bible references to pride. And the first one that comes to mind is Proverbs 6:16-19. These six things does the Lord hate. Yea, seven are abomination unto him. A proud look. That's the first one. a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift, running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that sows discord unto the brethren, among the brethren. But the first one is a proud look. Proverbs 16:5 is another example. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination unto the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. In Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. In the New Testament in Galatians, Paul wrote in Galatians 6:3, if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Philippians, again, Paul wrote in chapter 2, 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem another better than themselves. In other words, put the other folks above you. Remembrances. Things that the heart, how hard is it to forget in the forgive and forget aspect of forgiveness? Matthew chapter 18, 21. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until seven times 70. The number seven is infinite in the Bible. So he's saying infinite times 10. In Psalms 103, verses 8 through 13, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our own sin, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his child, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. If the Lord can forgive me of my sins and you of your sins, then I think we really, really, really need to try if we have aught against another. That we need to sit there and show the example of loving thy neighbor as thyself. Back in 1994 in Italy, there was an American family that was visiting. I don't know, some of you might remember this. There was a little boy, 7-year-old boy. His name was Nicholas Green. He was there with his family as they were visiting Italy, touring Italy. And I want to read this article. Nicholas Green was an American boy who was shot and killed in an attempted car robbery while vacationing with his family in southern Italy. The incident is credited with generating a significant increase in the rate of organ donation in Italy. I've spent many, many years in Italy. I'm very familiar with their customs, with their social standings, setups, et cetera, et cetera. And the children are so, so important to the Italian families. There were seven recipients, four of them teenagers. Nicholas's pure heart, two kidneys, liver, pancreas cells, and both corneas. And I speak with a Boston accent. All in their families had suffered pain and fear. Out of the seven, five of the organ recipients and prospects of dying at any time with utter hopelessness feeling that they could do nothing to influence a donation that could save them. When Nicholas died, they were just statistics to us on a very long waiting list. This is the father writing. He says, but we soon met them all and realized what they had gone through and what would have happened to them. I know that if we had simply packed our bags and shrugged off our problems as none of our concern, we could never have looked back without deep sense of shame. After this, the Italians, a lot of them sat there and said, oh, there had to be money involved. They had to receive money for this because they couldn't fathom that someone could take their child and donate the child's organs for somebody else to help the health and the life of others. Others sat there and they were just astonished. These people got to be angels. They got to be from heaven. Who else would do something like this? But as I read at the beginning, this incident is credited with generating a significant increase in the rate of organ donation in Italy. And it's still going strong today. But up until this, there was nothing. His family took their son, donated the organs, actually saved the lives of 5 of the 7 that had no hope at all. To me, that was true love, and that was true forgiveness. And I always have to ask myself a question when I feel animosity building up inside me towards a fellow brother, a stranger, someone pushing their way in front of me over there in Walmart. I don't know if anybody's ever experienced that. Okay, the question I continue to ask myself multiple times a day, and maybe this will help you because I know it definitely helps me. Is it what God would have me to do, or is it what I would have me to do? Thank you.